Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Trojan fans. It's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to another edition of the Peristyle Podcast on a Thursday. Today, we're going to talk with Chris Trevino about USC Spring Football, Pro Day, new enter into the transfer portal, and lots more. If you're watching us live on our YouTube channel, we are back. Yes, it's been a while. It's been a couple weeks since we've been live in studio, but we're doing that right now. So you can watch us, follow us along live. If you're in the chat box, say hello. Make sure you smash that like button and put any questions or comments you have. If you're listening on any of our podcasting channels, we appreciate that as well. If you have any questions for the show, we'll be back doing these regularly. I think during the spring, we're going to shoot for noon on Thursday before going to USC spring practice on Thursday afternoon. So that's going to be the schedule for the next month or so. Noon on Thursday. So if you want to get your questions in, try to do it before that. Just say it's for the Chris and Ryan show. And you can do that by emailing podcast@uscfootball.com. You can also call or text us at 424-254-9141. Shoot us a text or leave us a brief voicemail, and we'd love to play it on the air. We have one for you today. And if you have the Apple Podcasting app, follow along with the show. And subscribe, follow us at the Peristyle Podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating review. It does help to grow the show. I haven't looked to see if we have any new reviews. I don't think we do. I think we're good. Oh, wait. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We do have a couple. Yeah. But anyway, welcome in. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm good. I was just thinking, I can't remember the last time we did a show together. So it's been a minute.
It's been a minute. I'm going to put a little thing up there. Smash the like button. Yeah, if you're watching us live, thank you again. We have I have your comments up here on the screen. If you want to send us a question for later on the show, just put question to start. I will star it and come back to it later. But in the meantime, smash that like button. We need it smashed all over the place. And don't smash it twice, then it might unlike. I don't know. But you can subscribe that little bell there that will give you a notification when we go live. And for sure, subscribe to the channel, Peristyle Podcast. It's growing all the time. We got a bunch of videos that go up after every practice, so make sure you check all that stuff out. But Chris, you doing okay?
I'm doing okay. You know, Tuesday practice was a little rough just because of all the rain. Cold. Yeah. Shouldn't be like that today. It should at least not be raining. So, but I'm excited to get back out there. Get back into the flow of things.
Get back into the flow.
You know, we only had that one practice Wednesday 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We went on spring break. Now we're back to two practices a week. This is our first time with two practices this week. So, you know, just trying to get back into the flow of everything as we move through spring camp. It feels like spring camp is actually really starting this week.
Yeah, for sure, because it was like basically like 2 weeks off, like you mentioned, that they had one practice and then, you know, 2 weeks later. We had a couple of new reviews. USC Frazier Boy says, addicted to USCFootball.com. First-year subscriber, cannot stop listening and reading. Have to have my morning fix. Shout out to 20K. Ah, that's nice. Thank you for being a subscriber.
I'm not there yet. I'm almost there, but I'm not there yet.
Getting there. And we have a deal going on right now, so go over to USCFootball.com. I think it's still going, right, Chris? Mm-hmm. 50% off?
Ends tonight.
So make sure you do it. So if you're not a subscriber, perfect time. You can sign up for half off. You will definitely not regret it. So make sure you check it out. We also have a 5-star from SC Vermeer, composite 2-star podcast. I followed SC recruiting closely since the 90s. Never have I been this informed, and it's because of this podcast. Special shout out to Gerard Martinez. You're the best in the business.
He is the best in the business. That's why I corralled him in doing a podcast. that we do pretty much weekly. So
yeah,
new episode dropped this morning. If you're a composite 2-star fan, and
you should be
waiting to get your fix. It was up at 12:40 a.m. this morning. So, and if you're not, go check it out.
You're up late. Ron from L.A., Lower Alabama. Is Jack in the studio box? Jack is not. So Jack will be at practice today. We're going to try to do a tunnel vision Sunday, but I don't think the schedules and stuff is going to work out. So we will get Jack back. Jack had some mobility issues. He's now back out there. So we got to get this going again. So we'll figure out a tunnel vision to do. Maybe during the week if we can't do on the weekends. But we want to get Jack back out there because he's an integral part of the team. Also, I want to thank our sponsor, Trader Joe's. You know what I had for dinner last night, Chris?
I'm going to guess it's something from Trader Joe's.
Guess what's your favorite from Trader Joe's?
Orange chicken?
I went orange chicken. My mom is visiting. We stopped in the studio, actually, while Chris was recording, and I dropped off him some cupcakes. That's my thing, I guess. I just drop you off
sweets.
But
I'm not complaining.
Yeah. But I had some of the frozen rice, which I like to make from Trader Joe's, and the orange chicken, which I did in the air fryer, which I really like. It comes out really good in the air fryer. And some of those dumplings that I like, those soup dumpling things. So those are really good. Great dinner there. And I'm having some people over this weekend. So I got to pick up a bunch of snacks from Trader Joe's, a bunch of wine, pick up some different beers. I like getting like the little six packs of like craft beers and stuff. But they have great wine. I mean, you can get a whole bunch of wine, $10. It's going to be at like a Sunday afternoon thing. So mimosas for sure. I'll buy the Prosecco over there at Trader Joe's. So
mimosa.
Going to be a big Trader Joe's run either Friday or Saturday. So make sure you guys go check it out. They've been a great partner to us over the years. Have you made a run lately, Chris?
I haven't. I'm still stocked up from that last run the gift card run, but I got like 4 bags of orange chicken, so I'm like stocked nicely. So somehow that pork belly sitting in the freezer and the Korean barbecue short ribs, I still have those.
Ooh.
Waiting to break those out. But yeah, I do need to make a run for snacks, but in terms of big items, I'm pretty stocked right now, but I will be going probably the next week or so.
Yeah, Kings fan said he was the 24th person to smash the like button. It was funny. We had more likes when there were people waiting coming in, so that was kind of nice. How many we got? How many degenerates on there? Yeah, we got a bunch.
Is it degenerates? Is that what it's become?
That's what you like to say.
Yeah, is that like becoming the? This is the first time you've actually said it. So.
I just want to log. Yeah, we got 62 people watching, I guess, right now. So thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. Watching us live, and if you're listening on any of the podcasting platforms, that is great. As well, the live thing's just kind of fun because we can get some questions as we're going. We don't have as many emails today, so if you do have a question about what's going on in spring practice, jump in there and put it in the chat box right now if you're listening to us live. But yeah, Chris, you mentioned it. USC had 3 practices 2 weeks ago. We only got to see one of them, parts of one of them, and then they were back on Tuesday, 13 days off. So they had spring break, and they started on Tuesday. I was a little under the weather. I didn't go down there to campus, but you were there. There was a pro day in the morning, so we had like Jack and RJ and those guys down there watching USC pro day. But then in the afternoon was spring practice number 4, pouring down rain. We get word that practice might be a little delayed because of the rain, but there was no avoiding it. It was basically just coming down in buckets. You didn't seem super happy out there. You're still taking your ghost notes and everything, which are great. Make sure you go check out the Ghost Notes, one of the best features we have at USCfootball.com. But it seemed like Lincoln Riley was happy that it was raining. Just did a little, inclement weather out there for them to practice in.
Yeah, he was definitely jazzed up about having the rain, which his reasoning, it makes a lot of sense. You know, they're blessed with amazing weather, 350 days of the year, Southern California. But football games are not always played in the perfect conditions. So he was talking about how he has actually moved walkthroughs and moved practice time. So they will be able to practice in the rain. They want that experience in the inclement weather, in the elements, in the rain, wet balls. You're going to have snow when you're going to the Big Ten. So it's just about looking ahead and, thinking out, not outside the box, but just thinking about that, those little things like, let's not avoid the rain. We're going to have to play football in the rain at some point. let's get the team ready to do that. Let's have practice in the rain. So football weather, football coach kind of speak, wanted to get them acclimated to playing in the rain. So they took full advantage, and there was plenty of rain for them to practice with on Tuesday.
All right. Sorry, I was just checking a message while you were talking about there. Yes, rain, Southern California, it's kind of rare, right? We had like 6 inches of rain or something. We get like 0.6 normally. That's just this last month. There were people clamoring for, you need an indoor facility and blah, 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 blah. USC needs facility upgrades for sure. But having like a full-on indoor, that's not something I don't think USC needs. You mentioned it. It hardly ever rains here. We just have had a bunch of rain the last few weeks. But the fact that they couldn't do all like the pro day stuff outside like they wanted to, there were some people complaining. And I'm like, I don't get that complaint. Like, do you need, you know, bigger offices? Like, they, I mean, Lincoln Riley talked about just not even having enough office space for the guys that they were bringing in. Stuff like that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you want better weight rooms and all that, I no problem with all that. But USC doesn't necessarily need an indoor, you know, practice facility just because it's Southern California. I mean, it's almost like, if you remember, like, Lane Kiffin going up to Oregon that year, like, dressing like he was going on like the Iditarod or whatever. Just, it was like so much. But like, he's like, hey, man, it's really freaking cold here and the weather sucks. You don't have to do this stuff in Southern California. It was sort of like a flex. If USC built like some big indoor facility, I don't know, it's just sort of like thumbing your nose is how good the weather is, I guess.
Yeah, it just seems like it would be a waste of space because you don't need it. I mean, you've said to the point of this, you're in Southern California. It's like I said, 350 days of the year. It's beautiful. And just because Pro Day happened to fall on the one day it was raining, you know, this isn't uncommon. You know, the Sam Darnold Pro Day was raining also, and he solidified himself as a top three pick with that performance in the rain. Obviously wasn't helpful for 40 times and stuff like that. It was a little bit miserable, but yeah, you don't need to focus on building an indoor facility just so you can have perfect 40 times one day out of the year, essentially.
Yeah. Every other, you know, twice a decade, you need a pro day, whatever. Yeah. That was, what was it? Thomas Haslin? Was it the Browns? I forget. It's something Haslin. Like, he's the Browns owner. And he was I remember being at Pro Day in the stands, and he was like, so this billionaire's like sitting up, like, kind of behind me. Everyone assumed that everyone's picking Darnold, if you remember that, with the first pick. And they went with Baker Mayfield. So, like, the Browns get Baker Mayfield. You could have had Darnold. You know, it's not been great or anything. But you also could have had Josh Allen.
So, were they in the same draft?
Yeah, I believe. If I'm not mistaken, those were all the guys were in the same draft, right?
I don't know.
I can pull it. But chat, let us know. I think it was Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, and Sam Darnold. I think they were all in the same draft. But we put some stories up over at USAFootball.com from Pro Day, if you want to go check that out. Andrew Voorhees talked about, you know, that inspiring performance. You know, he felt he could have set a record. He put it up, the bench press, 225 pounds, 38 times. He, you know, talked to Ahmad and wrote a story on it. Like, he thought he could have set the record, but he had the biggest, you know, the highest total for the combine. So he's just a freak on the bench press. But to do that on one leg, it was pretty impressive. And so I think that alone might have, you know, he was one of the best guards in the country. And I think people will take a chance on him, even though he's got the injury. Showing the kind of gut determination that he did, the grit, I feel like that's probably going to help him. So it was cool to kind of read his story, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, just a really sad story, but there is some positive out of it, and just that perseverance and that mentality to not give up even when, you know, something like that happens to you, which is, you know, a metaphor for life.
Yeah.
Because things like that are going to happen. So it's really great to see him have that outlook and kind of persevere through that. And, you know, I hope a team takes that into account when they're, you know, going to the draft. And I know he's hopeful that he can get drafted, and he was going to get drafted before this, but I'm hoping that still he can come out the other side drafted going into April when the draft is.
Yeah, that would be great for Andrew, great kid. And seeing like a Travis Dye out there who's coming back from the injury, You know, Jordan Addison catching some balls. So, it was good. It's good to be out there. It wasn't, I mean, the rain sort of dampened everything. But, you know, you're going to, you know, root for those guys going forward and hope you see some more Trojans, as I like to say, when the draft comes this April. Later on today, like you said, there was practice. And I got to hear from Alex Grinch, we'll talk about in a second. But Lincoln Riley, good to hear from him. We talked to him a couple weeks ago. I think it was the last time we talked to him, I think it was like the Saturday Zoom call or something like that. When was it? I forget. It was 2 weeks ago, I think, you know, when they were doing the practice and everything. But he had some interesting to say about like scholarship numbers. And we're going to talk about, you know, one guy that has dropped off. But he's saying there's still a couple spots open. So there might be players that are off the team or in the portal that we don't know about yet, or planning to go into the portal. I thought it was interesting that he didn't have really a plan. Like, we're getting a defensive lineman and an offensive tackle. It was just sort of like, hey, we're going to add where we need to add, bringing in guys. I don't know. What did you make of what he said about that?
I mean, I'm not surprised by anything he said. We knew that USC, even if he hadn't come out and said it, we knew that USC would be buyers in the second portal opening. You know, that's not a secret. USC still needs some help at the defensive line. You could probably use one more offensive lineman, you know, so we knew they were going to be buyers. That's not a secret. And I'm not shocked he didn't come out and say what they're going to be need, because for the most part, you don't know what's going to be in the portal in 3 weeks. Like, did we think Malcolm Epps was going to be in the portal? Not necessarily, no. But you have no idea who is going to enter the portal. Now, the coaches, I'm sure they maybe have a sense of maybe who's going to be in the portal. You know, you check those back channels, you check you're making your little calls to high school coaches and high school parents. You're checking the feelers out there to, like, what's the landscape going to look like for the portal in several weeks, and that can give you an idea. But you really don't know who's going to go in the portal, because you could be hearing, oh, this big time name is going to go in the portal, but 2 weeks later they get a big NIL deal done, so they never enter. So it's like planning for a trip where you don't know where you're going, you know, so you don't know what you're going to see, you don't know what you're going to do. But you just have your idea of what you want, and you just hope that enters. And if there's a big-time name that enters, like if there's a big-time tight end that enters, you know, I'm sure there'll be players, because USC is depleted right now at that position. If there's another big-time tackle that enters, yeah, I'm sure they'll kick the tires. And I know if there's a defensive lineman in there, they're going to kick the tires as well. So just got to wait and see what gets served up in the portal in the coming month.
USC won't need a quarterback, obviously, with Caleb Williams coming back. But we did get a chat. DJ Whitehead said, the three guys I mentioned were first rounders. He also said Lamar Jackson and Josh Rosen were also in that class. So, yeah. So
you're right. I don't know why I just didn't think. I thought Baker Mayfield was like significantly, not significantly, but like at least two classes before him. So,
yeah. It was a surprise. Remember, we weren't sure if Sam was going to go one. He ends up going three. And Byron says to let up on Sam. Took the Jets to the playoffs in the first year. Yeah, I think Sam could still have a decent NFL career. I mean, sometimes you're in a bad situation. And we haven't seen a lot of quarterbacks do great in the Jets. So we'll see what happens.
He's in a good situation now with the 49ers. So
yeah, that'll be interesting to see what he kind of does from there. Other stuff from, you know, Lincoln Riley, the optimism. I think this is the general feel from talking to people. Remember, we sat down with Lincoln Riley, talking with him. There just this seems to be like this optimism that this is going to be, things are going to be better. A lot of the stuff is going to get better. And his comment about the gap between like where the starters basically are and the guys behind them, it sounded like he felt like the depth just wasn't that good. And now, just from what Lincoln Riley's saying, it sounds like he feels like the starters are better, but not just that, but the people behind them are better.
Right. What was good for them last year was here, and then behind them was there. You know, there's see this big gap there. Now it's a lot closer, which obviously makes for a better football team. And I believe the question was specifically about the defensive front area. So, you know, that's a positive thing to hear, but it's also like a very spring thing to hear. Like you can tell, you can see it. You know, they went out and got better players. They upgraded some positions. They're still a little thin in some areas defensively, but you definitely feel like this team, this at least the roster defensively, is in a better spot than it was a year ago going to here. You know, obviously you lose Tulu Pelotu, but you still have some weapons that you hope will be contributors and step up and help that pass rush is better. But, you know, it's an encouraging thing to hear, but it's also, you know, it's spring football. You know, he was not, I don't know what I'm saying right now. I'm just talking in circles right now, but you know, it is what it is. I have nothing to add there. I just talk myself into a circle and I'm walking myself out of it.
That's okay. No worries. We don't want to talk into a circle there. Yeah. Well, let's switch over to Alex Grinch because there was a thread in the P about he'd be a great politician. I did the solid verbal this week with those guys talking about it. And, you know, they obviously got asking about the defense. And I think that's the one thing that as much people don't like Alex Grinch right now just because the defense has been bad. But when you listen to what he has to say, he takes accountability. You know, he will come in and say, we sucked. This wasn't good. You know, things like that. He's someone that's not going to like tell you things are better than they are. I mean, he's going to point out that like, hey, you know, we had some good games in those 11 games that we won, but you know, you're going to look at the ones you lost where the defense was bad. And I think, you know, when you listen to Clay Helton talk, they could get beat up on the defensive line and he would praise like how the offensive line played for the other team or something. And I don't think you're getting that kind of coach speak or whatever from Alex Grinch. But he's not exactly providing some of the answers. And I don't know what answers would make the P happy or USC fans happy. But what did you make of kind of what he said about how this team needs to improve from year one to year two?
No answer would be good enough for the peristyle. And the only answer they want is that Alex Grinch is fired. And that's not going to happen. So they have to live with it. But yes, Alex Grinch is takes accountability for, you know, the defense being bad. And he said, when you do have a season like you did on the defensive side of the ball, the quote, bullets are flying at the coaches. And he said it's deserved, you know, after the performance they ended the year on and kind of that slide through the back half of the season. So, you know, he takes full accountability for it. But he didn't say anything that was like specific in terms of changes they've made or anything like that. You know, there was still some coach speak in there. There was accountability being taken, but there wasn't anything groundbreaking that was going to tell you that, you know, this is going to be different or X is going to be different. You know, it kind of was similar to what Riley was saying, is that you see the gap closing between, you know, the starters and the backups. You know, he also said a big important thing they need to accomplish is for those year two guys, those guys going to their second year in the system, you know, they have to be year two guys. It's not enough just to look at it on paper and say, okay, this guy's coming back for another year in the scheme. You actually have to do it. You have to go out there and play like a year two guy. So you're hoping you see improvement just because there are guys that understand the system, have played in the system, they're a lot more comfortable in the system, and they can play a little bit faster because it's their second year in the system. So you're hoping to get a bump from just guys being more comfortable in the system. He did talk about that.
Yeah. I want to switch a little bit to the running back, Marshawn Lloyd, who you got to hear from for the first time since he's been a Trojan. And I'm not sure, you don't normally talk about like your roots or like where you're from.
Yeah,
but if you know this, he's actually from... They call it the DVM or DMV or something. It's Washington, D.C., Virginia, and I think they might include Maryland. It's like sort of like a whatever. But from the area, guess where Caleb Williams is from? there's a connection there. His kind of recruit story was pretty funny.
Yeah, so they're very familiar with each other. Marshawn Lloyd and Caleb Williams played against each other growing up in the same, you know, youth leagues against each other, and they played at rival high schools. Caleb Williams at Gonzaga Prep and Marshawn Lloyd at DeMatha Catholic, which is actually my alma mater. So they are very familiar with each other. And Marshawn Lloyd, I asked him about, you know, growing up and playing against him, and he was like, it always made me so mad because, you know, he's Caleb Williams, he's unstoppable, and it was so hard to stop him. So now he's glad that they're teammates. But when he first entered the portal, you know, they were one of the first teams to hit him up. Tennessee was actually the first team to immediately hit him up. But he said Caleb texted him. He said, hey, come to USC. Let's win a national championship. Let's go to the league together. Let's do it. And, you know, that was kind of one of the selling points. And, you know, when you have – you're joining one of your old high school – I don't know what to call them, like DMV colleagues or what have you. You know, someone you know how good they are. And obviously he won the Heisman, so – now everyone knows how good you are, but I think it's just a cool story to get reunited for someone that used to go head to head with each other, and now they're teammates on the same USC team in the same backfield. So that is kind of cool. Two rivals out of high school and youth league now working together towards the same goal, which is a championship.
Yeah, on the other side of the country, and he's a physically not the tallest guy in the world, right? But just looks kind of stocky.
We're probably the same size. I might be a little bit taller than him, but yeah, I would not want to meet him in the hole. He's a big, thick dude. You could tell he's been, you know, he's had multiple years in SEC weight room. His arms are massive, and yeah, he did note, you know, he is a powerful runner, but he has a little bit of speed to him. Don't count him out of that in that category. So I'm excited to see what Marshawn Lloyd can do with his offense, and I'm waiting to see some of those clips posted on the account for some runs by him.
Yeah, for our practice ones, we get to see little social media dealies. That'll be kind of fun to see. Anything else from practice you want to mention before we move on to like the transfer portal news? Or
Brendan Rice was interesting to talk to. You know, he said he's bigger, heavier, stronger, faster than last year. Talked about how, you know, this year the difference that he feels in camp, this camp compared to last camp, was just the energy. He feels like there's more competition. He said last year they thought they were, you know, trying to impress the coaches. They didn't really know the plays. But now he says they're, quote, locked in, and they're, you know, they're working toward this goal to finish what they started last year, and that's win a championship. And that bond feels even stronger than it was in the spring, which makes sense because, you know, they're all kind of new guys, and now there's an established foundation with that culture. So he talked a lot about that and, you know, being a leader now. He's the old guy in the room. And he did kind of hint that this will be his last season at USC. I'm not sure if it was a joke, but he was asked about, you know, building towards, you know, being draft. And he's like, yeah, I'm out of here. And he kind of laughed, you know, that Brendan Rice personality. So I don't know if he was joking but it did seem to imply that he aims to make this his final season. And he did drop that he is the fastest on the team. He said they all raced and he won. So that's a pretty big claim to make when you have some like 10-2, 10-3 guys and Zachariah Branch and Damani Jackson. Yeah. So
did Branch get back to you on that?
He did not get back to me on that. we're going to have to check that out. I tweeted at him, so we'll see. But Mekhi Blackman did quote tweet me, and he didn't like confirm that Brendan Rice could be the fastest on the team, but he did say that definitely he's up there, which is saying something because, you know, he's a 6'2", 212-pound wide receiver. He's built physically, and if he strings together some games like he had again in the Cotton Bowl against Tulane, he's going to be on some all Pac-12 list, maybe even some like All-American third team list, you know, some honorable mention if he plays at that level across a whole season. You know, he's a dude, can be a dude, just needs to get that consistency down to show. But, you know, he talked about that Cotton Bowl game and how the chemistry with Caleb Williams finally, it felt like he finally clicked, and the results spoke for themselves. But he said they're trying to get that Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow type connection. So he said that that's been going on early in camp here, kind of building off what they were able to do in the Cotton Bowl here. So you hope as a USC fan it sees through the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, just like 75% of that game potential, like that's huge. You know, that was an enormous, you know, such a huge performance.
And again, it's Tulane, so
right.
It's not like Notre Dame or
but it's
Utah,
kind of those things you know you could do. Yeah. You know, like I think, you know, you're playing like youth baseball and you might be playing a bad team and like you're, you know, one of your number eight hitter hits a couple home runs and you're like, oh, we weren't sure if you were able to do that. And like you do, you know, I mean, there's sort of one of those things where the potential is there. I think if you're watching the Lakers right now, seeing like Austin Reeves like go crazy and average 20 points over the last 8-9 games, whatever it is, you know, like, hey, I can do this. If I can be a higher level player than what I've been doing. And we just didn't see Brendan Rice be that kind of higher level player. And I think you saw him do it on a big stage. You know, against an opponent that won a lot of games, even though it's Tulane. There's no reason he couldn't do that through most of the Pac-12 schedule. You know, I feel like so that's good. We'll see if they can keep that up, if that chemistry is going to stick around there. It's funny, in the intro, the end of our intro, the last clip to the, you know, we use our tunnel vision intro for the Peristyle podcast. The last clip is Malcolm Epps catching a touchdown pass. Mm. Probably have to change that because Malcolm Epps is now entering the transfer portal. He announced on social media this week. So he was out there at practice the first week, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. And then now he is gone. So any thoughts on Malcolm Epps? He says he's going to be a graduate transfer, so he's got his degree.
Doesn't have to sit out, have his degree. And it was just a very interesting time to transfer, you know, not waiting until the end of spring camp to make that decision. Maybe he was already thinking about it going into spring camp, you know, went to workouts, did go through that first week of practice, and then they go on spring break. So I don't know if he went back home to Texas. I assume he went back home to Texas, but you know, maybe he was back home in Texas, did some thinking, got some time to think, maybe thought about what his role was going to be like, reviewed the first week of practice. I'm not sure, but, you know, ended up deciding to get a jump start on getting the portal, his graduate transfer. I hope he finds a new home, but it is just interesting timing. Also, with USC still being in the recruitment of a certain five-star tight end, Deuce Robinson. Now, a lot of people are pointing to Malcolm Epps deciding to enter the portal now as like the smoking gun for that Deuce Robinson is coming. I doubt Lincoln Riley sat him down and said, hey, look, Deuce Robinson's coming. I doubt he said that to him, but maybe it was inferred that there'll be more competition coming in the summer and fall. Deuce Robinson will be making his decision, I believe, April 1st. That is the deadline he has set for himself. So it's coming up here that we're going to know shortly what the decision is for Deuce Robinson, and it feels like it's all USC at this point, but you never know in recruiting. But it is just interesting that timing, just to participate in the first week, go on spring break, and then enter. You know, it's a loss for depth purposes because USC is now very depleted from a tight end perspective for spring. They only have two healthy tight ends in Lake McCree and Carson Tabarucci, who is playing kind of that H-back role. Jude Wolf is on the mend with that foot injury, so he should be back in the summer and fall. And then you have Cade Eldridge coming in the summer as well, three-star prospect out of Washington, who is more H-back than true tight end as an athlete out of his high school. But, yeah, if you were able to get Deuce and get him in that room, you know, it's wide open for snaps and reps and catches and all that. So we'll have to see. But they're going to have to gut it through spring with just like two scholarship tight ends at least for right now. Remember, because Ethan Ray did leave the program, kind of processed out, and you know, he battled his injury. So that is another body though that you don't have. So very thin. I think Malcolm Epps has already been taken off the roster. So that was interesting how quickly that worked. But yeah, there's only four tight ends listed on the roster right now. One of them being a walk-on and one being injured. So yeah, it's pretty thin right now. I wouldn't be surprised if they move somebody like an edge guy to just for a body or something.
Yeah. Poot wrote in about this. He says, Malcolm Epps just entered the portal. I suspect that's because word has gotten around internally that Deuce Robinson has signed. If we can't get him, we're dangerously thin at that position. McCree has shown promise. Ethan Ray retired. Jude Wolf has spent his entire career as a Trojan hurt. Talk me off the tight end ledge, Ryan. This position keeps me up at night. Fight on, Poot. I mean, it's sort of like if the tight end position didn't exist, like how many points would USC scored last year? Like about the same, right? So I don't know. I don't know if it's that dire, but it's sort of like it's a nice position to have, but Lincoln Riley can score without it. So I don't know. I wouldn't worry too much. What are your thoughts, Chris?
I think it's still in that growing pain area for Lincoln Riley. I think Shotgun has mentioned this, that you look at the room when he first got there, it didn't really have, I guess, the body type that he wanted, because, you know, moving Carson to H-back, he's not a true tight end. He's more like that 6'2", 230, kind of a combo guy. And they got Cade Eldridge out of Washington. He fits that mold as well, kind of an athlete that can play all over the field. So you see him molding that position into what he really wants, which is kind of that running back, fullback, kind of move out, can play a little tight end, a little inline. So got two guys there now. I think we'll see a jump forward with that position. And, you know, Deuce Robinson, probably more flexed out wide receiver, obviously, than a true tight end. He's not going to be like an inline blocker or anything like that. He just goes out there to make catches and touchdowns. That's what he does. So if you get Deuce Robinson, you know, signs point to USC being the moving away as the leader for this one. So I'm trying to talk you off the ledge. USC's in a really good spot for Deuce Robinson, but you add Deuce Robinson to that room of Lake McCree, healthy Jude Wolf, Carson Tabarucci, and then Cade Eldridge. You know, that's a decent tight end room. Not the deepest in the world, especially with some of the injuries that they've had, but I think it's more versatile than what it can do this year with having Deuce being the big mega weapon, Lake McCree being a big potential to be a weapon. We saw that as true freshman year. And then having two more true H-back kind of bodies in there that you can play with, maybe add that wrinkle for this year's offense.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back. If you're watching us live, we don't have a ton of questions today. We have a voicemail and an email, a couple of comments so far. So put question in the comments over on YouTube and we will get to it in a bit. Otherwise, we'll wrap it up a little earlier and let you guys go about your day. But thanks for staying with us. Back in a minute.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, we're back here on the Peristyle podcast, returning with Chris Trevino. I am Ryan Abraham. We do have, we have to do the...
Three simple words.
You've got mail.
Woohoo!
Actually, I got one, West Texas Mike, who he listens to our shows. He's a big USC fan, but he also listens to the podcast of Champions. He's created over like 200 drops from our shows. I haven't even gone through them yet. I have to go through a lot.
200 drops?
It's like insane. From the amount of little video clips and stuff.
From which podcast?
From all of them. So like there's ones of you, there's ones of me, there's ones of me here, there's ones of Harvey Hyde, there's ones of, I think he even grabbed some from Elizabeth from like our TikToks. Like he's made little clips of a lot of stuff from David Woods, who's my co-host on the podcast of Champions. So if we say something sort of memorable or whatever, he just clipped them and I'll put them in there.
I hope he did the rail one you said 2 weeks ago.
What was the rail?
Something about you getting railed or something.
Okay. Okay. He probably did. I'll have to look there, but there are so many. But thanks, West Texas Mike.
Shout out.
I need to go through them. Yeah, shout out. So why don't we start with a voicemail?
Hey, Ryan, USC just hired a defensive consultant. Is this person overseeing the defensive coordinator, or is he just, what is he there for? He has a lot of experience, but he's never really been a successful defensive coordinator or anything like that. Very interesting. Lincoln Riley has stated that he's going to get more involved with the defense. Well, that's one way. Delegate. Curtis from Moreno Valley.
Thanks, Curtis. I did forget to mention, that was one of the notes I had in there. Greg Brown is a longtime coach, defensive coach, SEC, NFL, and he was brought on as a defensive analyst. I'm not sure you know the hierarchy works, Curtis, but defensive analysts don't come in and oversee the defensive coordinator. Sometimes they're sort of like the waiting in the wings guy for the defensive coordinator. Like we've seen, what was it? Who did Sark hire? Patterson, like Gary Patterson, was it right? Yeah, the TCU. Mm-hmm. You bring him as an analyst, and sometimes you're like going to take over. And we've seen that with Nick Saban, where like Lane Kiffin was an analyst and ends up becoming the offensive coordinator eventually. But no, he's an analyst. He's helping out, eyes and ears, you know, but you are not overseeing the defensive coordinator as an analyst.
Just another voice, just a guy with experience that can come in, look at it and say, look at a problem, be like, hey, you know, maybe we could try this. Or, you know, obviously he's coached 3 Thorpe Award winners. So, you know, he's a good defensive back coach, defensive back by trade. Stop many stops, so he knows a lot of things, you know, NFL, like
by
you said,
trade.
College.
Just hearing by trade, by the way, it's like I'm a quarterback coach by trade. Like, you're gonna have nightmares?
Not me. I love the phrase by trade. Defensive back coach by trade. And yeah, he just has experience and he has knowledge, and you know, you want to tap into that, but he's not overseeing, you know, Alex Grinch or the defense at all. You know, he's not that big of a name, you know, it's not Gary Patterson or anything like that. So he's just here to help share his wisdom, share some things he's learned, share things that work for him, you know, just an extra pair of eyes and ears and hands to work with the defensive backs and such.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for that one. So Shotgun and I did a show last week. Was it last week or the week before?
Whatever, go into the March Madness. So probably, yeah.
Yeah, there was one show there's one question that we answered that was for you that was we left over from Coach B. He says, 18K, since we will all be flying to College Park every other year soon, I'm hoping you could give us some feedback about the city. I think it would be wild if you coordinated an LA takeover of a locals-only dive bar for post-game celebrations, and when the Marylanders get mad, we can all be like, no, 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 it's cool, I'm with Chris Trevino. And then we will tell the bartender that you are buying to get a round of Natty Bow for the whole bar.
Beer.
That's a beer. Okay. For the whole bar, and everyone will be happy. Also, is it Marylanders, Marylandies, Marylandians? And for that matter, what is Old Bay? Thanks, bro, especially Jack. You're the best little dude, Coach B.
Shout out to Coach B. Always ask questions for the composite. So, lot to process there. It's Marylanders is what I would say.
Okay.
Marylandites, not necessarily.
You're the official, like, spokesperson of...
I guess. Old Bay is just... I don't know if that's a serious question. I don't actually know what, like... It's a bunch of different spices. It's orange. It's an orange seasoning. You know, you get it on your crabs. You put it on your shrimp cocktail. It's salty. It's briny. It's delicious. It's one of the best things that you can put on seafood. So I highly recommend it. If you don't, I remember I went to like a seafood place out here and I asked for Old Bay and they laughed at me. So it's like, never again. Never again will I go there. I think go. So College Park, it's called Construction Park because there's been a lot of construction going on. They've been building it up and changing it. and it's just like a route one. That's the main road. You just drive through, and it's just straight, the main artery through the college town. And it's small, and it but also feels big in a way. But there's a lot of different. I mean, it's changed a lot since I was there. But to do that, I would love to do that. I think we would probably want to do something not as college-y, like the main bars, like Bentley's. That's like the legendary bar, very fratty or whatever. And you know, after big wins, the thing to say is we're going to Bentley's. That's where you celebrate a big win. But I'd probably do like Lito's Pizza. There's a nice Lito's Pizza there. If you don't know what Lito's is, it's like their famous pizza in Maryland. It's a square pizza, so it's like one of the things out there. So we'd probably do it there. The Lito's in College Park is really nice. Or maybe if you want to do more bar, probably like Looney's Bar, which is further up. It's not as close to the main like heart of the heart of the main strip, if you will. So those would be my two options, but probably Lito's because I do miss square pizza.
All right. Isn't it Detroit does like square pizza too?
Detroit does square pizza.
Yeah. When we had an event in 2017 when USC played at Texas, and we ended up taking over a bar down there. Were we on the same team at that point?
I didn't go to that. I think so, but I didn't go to that game.
You didn't go to that game. Okay. And it ended up being like a smallish bar.
That might have been our first year.
I think it was first year, 2017. Yeah. So it might have been a smallish bar, but it was like a USC guy owned it.
Okay.
And we, it was very strange because we didn't realize how many people were going to come. We thought, oh, like 40, 50 people will show up. And it was kind of rainy. So this was Friday night before the game. And there was a line out the door. We had 200 people in the place. They had like two bartenders working, and it was like almost impossible to get a drink. It was slam balled in there. It was packed, and it was raining, and people are standing outside waiting to get in. All USC people. I guess there wasn't
for you
for USC. This was our our event. Yeah, and for me. I mean, my sister came. My sister came to the game, and she's very much center of attention. She's my little sister, center of attention kind of person. And all these people just constantly like, can I get a picture with you, Ryan? And like, you've gone to these events. Like, and this was all, this was a lot of people constantly getting photos and everything. And my sister was like, why do they care about you? I'm like, I don't know. It's whatever. But it was a lot of fun. And Keely was there, and, you know, we had a good time. But when you do these road trips, if it's a big game, there's a lot of USC fans on the road, and they want something to do. You know, I've done smaller ones with like, USC Psycho with Roy. I think when we were in Seattle, we would have an event. And I don't know, that was more like 40, 50 people kind of thing. But the Austin one, I just think there wasn't, like USC's Alumni Association had something, but I think you had to be like some donor status to go to their event. So there wasn't really like an event. So our event became like the event, and it was great. So I would love to do something like that in Maryland.
For the first Big Ten season, we should do an LA takeover at some bar, every road.
Every single one. 100%.
Just for the first one. Starting with Vegas, LSU.
I think the four whatever Midwestern road trips that'll be or whatever they are, I think I'm going to go for the whole week for each one. Like, it's just going to be like, we should have an RV. I'm going to get the RV back. It's just going to be like, we're coming to town.
We got to go big for the first season, Ryan.
It's like what's it called? College game day. It's like, we're coming to your city. Like,
we should do it.
That'd be
pull
awesome.
It off. It's gonna run us ragged, I'm telling you, but it will be so much fun.
The travel budget for that, I'm gonna have to like super budget a bunch of travel for that. It's gonna be crazy. James says, have you all noticed, this is a YouTube comment, have you all noticed how college football is getting better and better as USC continues to win? I live on the East Coast, and we love watching USC football from North Carolina to California. Thanks. I thought that's a comment. Have you noticed that? I guess that's a question.
Football is getting better and better.
Yeah,
sure. Football always feels fun to me. Not necessarily better, but it's always entertaining.
Yeah, I think there was a starred question I missed, but it was about
My apologies. I think I clicked on the wrong one to put it up here, but and I do think it's getting better and better. I love it. I love the expanded playoff. I think, you know, Mick Cronin, the UCLA head coach going into the Sweet 16, had a funny kind of quirk today. We were talking about, you know, yes, it's changing. College football is different than it was. College basketball is different. The portal and all that. It was something about, like, you know, for every failed company, there's a CEO there saying, but that's always worked in the past, you know? And so, like, yes, things are going to change. You have to adapt. So I think college football is getting better. You know, I don't watch as much college basketball anymore. March Madness is fun. I just don't get into it as much. I think as a sport, it's definitely lost popularity, like, in the grand scheme of things. The NFL, you know, they're talking about NFL, like, stuff today, like, they're all the pro days and everything. It's way off season, and the NFL is, like, top of mind. You know, Colin Cowherd had, like, you know, one of the Cam Hayward as a guest today, like, way off season. You're talking about NFL all the time. College football, I think we can get there, but it's still gaining popularity where some of the other sports are not. So I think we're in good hands there. The other comment, though, YouTube, was about any cultural changes you're seeing from year one to year two, and which it's hard to, like, look and see a cultural change, but is there something maybe just that people have said that's a little bit different, Chris?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's only been, what, two practices that we've covered, so
yeah,
haven't really dug super deep into the cultural questions yet. You know, it's more like newcomers, stuff like that. So I think in a couple of weeks we'll get more of that, but still waiting to see some of those Trojan decals. You know, that was a cultural thing that was changed from last year. You know, have to earn your decal.
Yeah.
Haven't seen any yet, so I'm sure we'll start to see some of those as the weeks go by. That's one of the big things I'll be looking for. You know, that was established last year, to see that kind of move forward another year.
Yeah, Curtis had called in about that too. So we're not sure about that. You see the padded helmets and stuff, but if that's a thing anymore. We kind of got it, like, was it midway through spring? I think Lincoln Riley started talking about it, so we can check with him. But I think, I mean, one of the common themes is just, like, now in year two, you're sort of, like, learning the process. And, you know, it's like if you've done a workout, like, if you go through the workout the first time, you're kind of learning the moves and learning the steps and what to do. And it seems like that's sort of what it was last year. Everyone's kind of learning what is expected of them. And now you know. And Lincoln Riley, when we sat down with him, talked about players know. And now it's not just us coaches saying, here's how we want it done. There are players that went through it last year that when a new guy comes in, you could say, this is how we do it. Like, now players kind of know. So I think that's probably a big part of the culture, is just people have now been in the system for a year, and they're not just learning about it. They're understanding it, and they can teach the young guys and kind of bring everyone up to speed together, if that's fair. If you think that makes sense, let's go to Preston's Paradise. How is Tackett Curtis
big
at practice?
Yeah, heard he's doing really well. His work ethic off the charts, really impressing the coaches. He's on the right path.
Yeah.
And he's huge, so.
He's a big dude.
For a freshman.
Yeah. Howell says, other than Caleb and Miller, who else have you seen taking reps at quarterback?
Jake Jensen.
Yeah.
Saw a little bit of him yesterday. Obviously, Malachi Nelson still coming off that shoulder injury. You know, don't want to throw too much at him at one time, but I feel like I did see Jake Jensen taking some reps yesterday.
Yeah, he and Malachi, we've seen some social media posts where he's throwing passes, so he's definitely out there. Boomer Assassin, I'm not sure if Boomer Assassin is he a Oklahoma fan? But he seems to be nice in the chat, which is nice. But he wants to know, how hot is Alex Grinch's seat?
I'd say it's warm.
I guess, yeah, more than warm.
You know, it's like when on a cold day, you get in your car, you have the butt warmers. You don't put it all the way up. You do the lowest setting.
Yeah.
I'd say it's
I did the lowest setting.
Yeah.
But it's still warm. It's sure. Still significantly warmer than what it was.
You could look down and it's like, is this seat heated? Because you feel it.
Yeah, you're like, ooh, that's good. I can't do like the fully hot one. Like, it's just like, that's
oh,
too
I
much
can.
Right away.
And then I forget. And then I'm like, why am I burning up?
Then you're like, oh, something smells good. Oh, wait, that's my It's my ass.
It's my keister.
It's cooking. Yeah, so to me, if you had, because I think it's warmer, I mean, it's warmer than warm, simply because if USC's defense goes out and say they lose two or three games and the defense is pretty much the reason in all of them, I don't think he's going to be retained at that point. So I feel like this is basically a season where just do well and he's fine. Like, it's not like a Clay Helton hot seat where you're like, I don't care if he wins a national championship, we want him fired kind of thing. It's basically just like, you're talking about getting better, you're getting better players, and I'm like, so get better. If they get better, he's fine. If they don't, he's fired. I think that's just, I think it's that simple. It's basically performance-based at this point.
I love the national championship Clay Helton dilemma because it would break so many minds and you wouldn't even know what to do.
Do you remember that when they fired Clay Helton? So USC loses to Stanford. What they beat, who was the first game? Was it San Jose State or something or Fresno?
Yeah.
Maybe Fresno? Was,
yeah, whatever.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, this, like ancient history. And then Dante Williams gets hired. They go on the road and beat Washington State, which ended up being the best win of the season, which no one knew at 2-1. And the debates were like, well, what if Dante Williams runs the table and makes the playoff and wins a championship? Is he going to be the next head coach and all this stuff? Like, do you remember that? That was like real discussions
that's where we're at.
That were had, which is kind of insane.
But that season took so long.
It did take a long time.
That season was like three seasons.
Every, like, most of the radio shows I did, like the Chuck Oliver show as an East Coast guy, I did him this morning. And so many people are just like, we feel good for you, man. You know, we're like, he mentioned that Arizona game that USC, like, it just looked terrible in and lost. He's like, I talked to you after that game, and there's just no hope for fans. And just that, you know, and your website depends on the team doing well. I'm like, yeah, it's, you know, that's something that's out of our control, but, you know, we can cover the team, but if the team stinks, a lot of people are very, like, happy that we've been had a lot better stuff to cover since, was it November of 2021, since they hired Riley. Basically, well, September of 2021 when they fired Clay is when it sort of, like, things just got, like, your life just got way better. Like, everything got better. And then it got, like, way better in November when they hired Lincoln Riley.
It's like detoxing. You're going to feel really sick, but then you're going to feel great.
Yeah. It was, but there was, like, 7 years of sick. Here's another one. Did either of you read Notre Dame president and AD's op-ed in the New York Times about the future of college sports? And if so, any thoughts? I have not. Have you?
I can't read, so.
I try to read stuff like that, but I didn't see it. If you want to give us like a summary or something.
But Spark note it.
Yeah, I didn't do that one. And then we got, I think, one last one from Tim. Seems that the media is getting more access to practice during the spring. Is this true? And if so, do you think it continues into the fall and the season?
Feels the same.
Yeah, it's about the same. It's more in general than what Lincoln Riley allowed in Oklahoma. And USC was just more open. USC is in a pro sports town. And I want to do this exercise at some point, but like we'd have to figure out how you determine like the biggest, like I don't know, most high profile sports athlete, you know, you rank them, like who's the highest profile athlete in like Southern California in Los Angeles. It's probably LeBron James, right? Caleb Williams would be
top five.
No, I don't even think so. But in like Oklahoma, number one. Like, in most states, Caleb Williams, you know.
You don't think he's top five?
No. I mean, you have, just from, would you watch the baseball classic at all? Like, is he bigger than Mike Trout? Otani? Like, no. Is he bigger than, like, Kawhi Leonard or Paul George? Or, I mean, I guess, you know, even, like, Westbrook. I mean, there's, so, and any of the, like, how many of the big Dodgers, you know, like, Clayton Kershaw. Like, there's just so many dudes. Like, I don't think he's top 10. He might not be top 15 as far as, like, yeah, he won the Heisman Trophy. But this is a pro sports town. I don't know. I'm not – maybe I'm wrong. But – and you would have to figure out, how would you – I don't know if it's social media following or whatever. But, I mean, this is big boy sports being played here. Like, Ohtani might be the greatest baseball player we've ever seen, and he's like playing in Southern California. You know, Mookie Betts, like, is he bigger than Mookie Betts? Like, he's not bigger than Mike Trout. He's not bigger than LeBron. He's not bigger than some of these dudes. I don't even know, like, Kings guys, or if there's any soccer dudes, probably not. But, I mean, I'm not a big soccer guy, but there might be. I don't know. Would you argue against any of those? Like, would you say he's bigger than Trout or something? Or
no. I just...
Bigger than Kawhi Leonard? Like, multiple
maybe
NBA champions?
Maybe Kawhi Leonard.
Really?
Because Kawhi Leonard doesn't talk.
I know, but he's, like, not a bigger sports star than Kawhi Leonard. Like,
sure. It's just...
Yeah, Kings fans, tell us some Kings that would be on the list. I don't know.
It's just because he's not a professional athlete. You're a professional athlete.
Right.
You get to play.
But the point is, like, in Oklahoma, there aren't any, right? Or there's some. I mean, he might be – who's that point guard for – or the guard for OKC? I'm going to the Laker game tomorrow night.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, it's at three initials. But anyway, he's like a stud. But it's a – you know, I'm kind of off track. Where did I get back to? How did we get here? Oh, as far as access. So being a professional sports town, Tim, you have to be more open if you want to get headlines. If you're a superstar player, and I would argue isn't one of the top 10 sports personalities in the city, you know, in the region, I think Lincoln Riley understood that you need to be more open. And he's done that. And I think he's making it, it's not as open as it was during Pete Carroll, but Clay Helton was shutting stuff down too. But I think it's similar to what we had with Clay Helton. And it allows us to do our jobs. We can still talk to players, which a lot of places you can't. We couldn't talk to a lot of assistants during the season. I think we're going to get a little bit more, to answer your question, we'll probably get a little more access during the season because we'll probably get an assistant from time to time. We're going to get each assistant once during the spring. So they won't be completely shut out of this process. The fact that, and I think it really helps players to be able to do interviews. If you remember back to your college days, Chris, or doing your first like job interview, the best way to practice for job interviews is to do interviews, is to do more of them. Apply for a job you don't even care about, just to interview, and some person's asking you questions, and you get to answer them. I think that helps. And when I've hired people, you know, the more I interview someone, you know, the more job interviews I went on, the more it would help me do my own interviews. And so I feel like getting that practice, you just see USC players when they get to the league, and they're more ready because they've done a lot of interviews. If you're someone that's been shut out and they never get to talk to the media, I think you're doing that player a disservice, especially in the NIL world. Like, if I'm a player and I'm playing for a coach who doesn't want me to do interviews and I want to get out there and show my personality so I get more TikTok followers and make more money in NIL, like, I would be pretty upset with that coach. So I think Lincoln Riley has done a good job adapting. One, he's now no longer a first-time head coach. Two, he's in a much different market where you should be more open. And I give him kudos for adapting to that. You never want a coach to feel like they're putting themselves at a disadvantage. And he's mentioned things like that before. He doesn't want to talk about this because he feels like that would put his team at a disadvantage. But I feel like he's embracing it and seeing that, hey, we can have players talk, we can have coaches talk, and it's not going to kill our team or anything. And it actually helps the players, and it probably helps the coaches. They get more high profile. You know, if you're Googling, you know, some coach that gets hired and he's someone that has been on Nick Saban's staff for 15 years, has never done an interview, you're like, I don't know what this guy thinks. But if it's someone like, oh, it's Dennis Simmons. Okay, well, there's a whole bunch of interviews we've done with Dennis Simmons already. They're all on YouTube. You can go check it out. You can see his personality, and I think that helps them as well. So kind of long answer there. But, yeah, I think he's more open, and I think he's adapting. Some of it being more comfortable as a head coach. I think we saw Ed Orgeron, when he was a head coach for the first time at Ole Miss, was so buttoned up and didn't trust anybody. And when he got an opportunity at USC, he was different. You know, and I think when he got an opportunity at LSU, he was different. So, yeah, that would be my assessment of it.
I'll tell you what, nothing that we asked last year gave up a game-winning touchdown to Tulane.
Yeah. People are saying, wake up, Chris. When I just went on this long rant. Interesting, but all right. Let's see. Oh, Aaron Darnold and Cooper Kupp are bigger too. Okay, yeah. I mean, huge, you know, Aaron Darnold, like the best defensive player in the NFL. He happens to be in Los Angeles. Like, he's bigger than Caleb Williams. Like, there's just a lot of dudes. Like, I don't know how you could say top five. But I would, we would need some kind of metric, you know, right? I mean, Matthew Stafford, like, I don't know. Justin Herbert. I don't know, even like Austin Eckler.
You're just naming every player now.
I mean, like Justin Herbert's like a budding superstar in the NFL, you know? He's not a college coach. I mean, a college player. But yeah, a lot of good stuff. I don't know who the Kings would be. So I don't know if they put I think they put it in there. Drew Doughty. Yeah, there's some guys that you know. Anja Kopitar. Yeah, Kopitar's huge. Doughty's huge. Yeah. So there's some... There's just a lot of dudes that in the city. So I think and it's good. I think Caleb Williams likes that, where if you're in Norman, Oklahoma, like you are the, you know, you can't go anywhere. And, you know, did he mention he was at a restaurant and like Rihanna was there? It's like nobody gives a crap about me. Rihanna's here. Now that was before he won the Heisman. He's gonna get people that are gonna come up to him for sure. But if you wanna be a big they're all pretty big fishes. Lincoln Riley's pretty big fish, but this is a much bigger pond. And there's a lot bigger fish than you in there. But even though you're big, there's bigger fish and the pond's so big, you can kind of like hopefully have more of a normal life, I guess you could say. If that makes sense. Okay.
Get our screen grab?
What do you need to screen? Oh, how do you want to do it?
I think this is the bit where we just do a different screen grab. I'm going to throw this at you.
Okay. Wait, do this. All right, like that. That'll be our screen grab. Perfect. All right, well, that's going to wrap things up. Grista. Oh, let's see. Curtis says, what about followers? Yeah, I'm curious to see social media followers, like where Caleb would be. And I think younger players have an advantage. Like, I mean, LeBron James is going to have a ton, right? But like, I don't know how much like Aaron Donald has, like on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. I'd be curious to see.
On Twitter?
I don't know if Caleb's on Twitter. Aaron Donald. Look on Instagram real quick. Like,
Aaron Donald has 160 followers on Twitter.
Oh, how about Instagram?
Instagram? Aaron Donald?
Yeah.
Aaron Donald, sorry.
He might not be a social media guy. This is compelling.
Here we go. He has 1.2 million.
Okay. Do you know how many Caleb has?
Caleb, I don't think it's a million. Caleb Williams, I think it's like 181.
Okay. So he's not going to be 1,000. He's probably not top 20 as far as Instagram followers go, LA sports stars. Like, I mean, some of those soccer guys would have more than that. And I don't even know who they are. So yeah, Curtis, that might be a way to do it. But I think he's, you know, probably bigger than that. And you know, he's younger, so it takes a little while to establish too. But anyway,
Cooper Kupp has 805,000.
Okay. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of dudes that have more than that. LeBron's got to have like tens of millions, I would think. Right.
Yeah, LeBron's probably like 50 million or maybe 100 million.
I mean, so like, you know, that's like just he's just a dude in this, you know, just down the street. You know, he plays at Staples. I mean, well, crypto.com, like 2 miles away. So it's hard to be the biggest sports star in the region when you got guys like that in there.
I don't see a LeBron Instagram.
He does. He has one.
There are fan pages with more followers than Caleb.
Okay. So that's
Jesus Christ. Yeah, this random fan page is like 500,000 LeBron
followers. Wow, amazing. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up. I'd be a good little project to kind of look at, like where would he rank? And it might be, you might have talked to like a sports business guy who could kind of put it all together. Like it's not just Instagram or it's like buzz and, you know.
149 million.
LeBron. Holy crap. Carlos Vela has 1.6 million on Instagram. Okay, so some dude I don't even know has like 10 times as much as Caleb does. All right, well, let's wrap things up. Hope you guys enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun doing these on video. So if you're listening on the podcast platform, that's awesome. We love that you listen that way. But if you want to kind of check us out and watch a video, we will try to put more. I got to get more spring photos in and put some we'll put some more graphics and stuff up while we're talking here on our YouTube channel, too. So it's a lot of fun. Try to make it a little more interactive with all of that. But for Chris Trevino, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you enjoyed the show. And we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices. Every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.